This episode is basically your how-to guide on how to take control of your life and become the main character. And the beautiful thing about all of these steps and everything I'm going to talk about, we're not really looking for something far away. Everything is literally within you. Not to sound corny, because I know how that sounds sometimes. Somebody's rolling their eyes right now. But isn't it great to kind of know that you don't have to go searching for these things? We're just kind of digging or going within. If you've ever read The Four Agreements, the analogy that the author always uses is like a fog, so that there's like a foggy mirror that you're looking into where you literally are there. Your reflection is there. There's just a little bit of fog that we have to move out of the way for you to see yourself more clearly. So that's what this episode is going to do. It's tips on how to kind of remove that fog and direct yourself to create the life that you want. And these are going to be tips where we talk about things that are needed for like a growth mindset, things for self-love, relationships, money, success, happiness. All of that will be discussed in this episode. So within 30 minutes, you're going to get a whole lot of beautiful information to help you on your journey. So welcome back to the Happy Hippie Podcast. This is the show where we dive into different ways that you can add more happiness into your life, whether that's mentally, physically, or spiritually. And my name is Amanda McCormack. I am your host. If you are new here, you can find me on Instagram as Happy Holistic Hippie. I am a yoga teacher, a personal trainer, and a nutrition coach. So that's why I like to approach things from the holistic aspect. I think that if you want to grow in life or develop yourself and find happiness, there's so many different ways to do it, and everything is all connected. So that's why we always talk about different things, from mindset to fitness to nutrition on this show. And today it's going to be a little bit more about mindset, self-love, and self-growth. You should be able to start implementing some of these things today, some of these mindset shifts that will really change your life. They're lessons to help you step into a higher version of yourself. And it's all about loving who you are, leaning into loving your passions, things that excite you and light you up, your experiences, and romanticizing your life. And this is what's going to get you there. First thing I really wanted to dive into is just the topic of self-worth, because I find that is the biggest thing. As many meditations, journaling, life lessons I go through, I find like it always comes back to how you value yourself and your worth. And again, a lot of the things I say are either repetitive from episodes that I've recorded, or maybe things you've heard elsewhere, but maybe that's for a reason, because they're really important. And I think reframing our self-worth and reframing what it means, because I find sometimes I'm like, okay, cool, check, like I've done that, I've fixed my self-worth, and then something will come up and I find out, oh wait, maybe that's like an underlying issue. So to get into the definition of what self-worth is and all of that, I just want to talk about a meditation prompt I did the other day that kind of jogged this part of my brain and made me want to speak about this on the show, because maybe this will point something out for you as well. So the meditation I was doing was a self-worth meditation, but it was all about finding out like where in your life you might have developed a different framework, like mental framework, about your self-worth. A lot of the times it comes down to, as humans, we just want to be loved and we just want to be heard. And that can be exemplified in many different ways. And that's why sometimes we internalize stuff from the outside world, whether it be situations with people, maybe places we've been, experiences. And we let those things affect our viewpoint on ourselves and what we like and what we enjoy. And that's why life is all about pretty much unlearning things that other people, other situations have put on us, you know, and changing our mindset. And the cool thing is it's like up to us to do that. So I find that meditations that are guided, and then like journaling prompts, because meditations that are guided are pretty much just like audio journaling sessions, if you want to think about it that way. They kind of ask the right questions so you can poke around in your head and find out these things. You could also do therapy, but this is another free cool resource to help you dig out these things, because everybody has some sort of conditioning from the world on them that makes you, like, I don't want to say makes you, but it's the reason why we act and behave in certain ways, and we may not even be aware of it. So the meditation I was doing was going back into different scenarios in your life. So you can try this if you want as well. You can do it as a journaling prompt. Basically, you just do a few minutes of breathing to get into like a meditative state, and then you can explore these prompts. But they were going back to scenarios in your life. So there was someone you were a kid, someone you were like a teenager, and kind of moving forward to wherever you are in life now, like periodically going back to scenarios where you felt bad about yourself. So the cool thing was, the first prompt that I was doing, it was like, go back to the first time that you felt bad about yourself, or just felt bad about a situation that made you kind of feel like, ugh, about yourself. And then you go back and you like experience it, even though you're like, I don't want to experience that. But then you almost kind of correct them and you show up and you give yourself the feeling that you're worthy and like have that love and everything. Because again, we're literally always looking to be loved and heard. So a lot of the times in our situations, if you go back, that's probably what you were quote unquote lacking or didn't feel. And that's why we feel low self-worth or shame or guilt over things. So if you want to hear my example, basically what happened when I was like 5, my mom and my grandma used to take me to like this museum that would do like art exhibits for kids. So there would be like a craft that you do, and then they'd have like an exhibit where you can like bring that craft or play in it, if that makes sense. So they had one that was all about beehives, and they built this giant beehive outside, and the craft was like, they made you a bee costume, and it was like craft material. So it was like pipe cleaner, like head, like ear thingies, and then you would like create an outfit out of like wrapping paper. It was horrible but like fun. And then you got to go play in the beehive, which was basically like the tubes that you would see at like Chuck E. Cheese that you would crawl through. So anyway, that was my first bad memory, because when I was in there, I remember I was like 5, maybe I was younger than 5. There were 2 girls in the thing, and they had me like following them, and they were like, yeah, come play with us kind of thing. But they were like setting me up at age 4.5. They had me following them. And I remember them, like, they kept whispering to each other because they like knew each other. But I was just so excited that I had like a group of people to play with. And then when we got out of the tubes, one of the girls ran over to her dad. I was just following her because they kept telling me to follow them. And one of the girls ran over to her dad or whoever the guy was, and just started like flat out lying, and went up to the guy and was like saying stuff that I was following them and I was like trying to hurt them and all this stuff or whatever I was doing, like just flat out lying. And then this grown man came over and just started screaming at me. That was like my first childhood traumatic memory, and it just made me like not trust grown men and also not trust like other people. But the thing was, I felt so bad in that moment. And then we were doing more prompts, so going through life in different ways. And another prompt came up when I was a little older. And then I was actually realizing that a lot of the reasons why I was upset was because other people had a bad portrayal of me. That's what it came down to, how I was perceived. So I was really mad and sad when I was like 5, because these girls were painting me as like a villain to this man. And I was like, I didn't do anything. And it just made me feel bad about how they viewed me, even though it wasn't true. And then I realized a lot of the other prompts I was doing, it was very similar, where I felt bad about myself with certain things because it was either I looked a certain way to people, or I looked bad online, or I wanted to look a certain way. And that is something I've always actually been working through. And I didn't realize that maybe until the past like 2 or 3 years, that my portrayal of myself to other people is something that used to freak me out a little bit, because I wanted to be portrayed a certain way, which obviously kind of goes hand in hand with social media and that whole thing. But the reason I had to tell you that example, as thorough as it was it made me realize like I needed to work on not caring, like really, really not caring, like truly to the core about what other people think of me and how I'm perceived, because clearly that's been like an issue that's been following me since I was like 4. And it showed me that self-validation or like self-worth from external sources and caring about what other people think and how you're perceived is a self-worth issue. And I always thought they were like separate things, but it kind of made me realize that. So I think that's a really great start. I wanted to be really thorough. I usually start with the biggest point first on the show, just for that reason. I wanted to be thorough with this one, because I feel like the next steps that are a little more fun and all about like stepping into confidence and all of that, and I'm going to give you some cool examples, they build once you kind of pinpoint areas that are holding you back in a sense. And again, it's, you're not permanently stuck in any way, but it's just really like awesome and enlightening to know that, hey, a lot of the things I do like stem down, if you have like a chart, like they're stemming down to this central idea that I am really basing a lot of my worth around what other people think of me. So working on that, and then finding there's tons of resources on that online and in the world that are so great that can help you out. I even have some like meditations and things about that topic, but it's just finding what is that like top topic that's kind of holding you back in your self-worth department to kind of hone in on. And once you find that, that's the key. It's always about having that awareness first. So I rarely recommend doing that journaling prompt or trying that version of a meditation to find what's holding you back and what you're attributing your self-worth to and where you're making an account. And then the next thing is whenever we're doing this type of work, and this I've seen in self-development work, but I also see it from my point of view as somebody that is a coach and a trainer, that when we start to find what we want to work on, the first thing we do as humans is we get so upset at ourselves and we start to feel shame that we have this habit, or guilt that we did this thing, or just in general, like, fear kind of holds us back. But shame and guilt, we need to work to look at ourselves with compassion and look at ourselves as, again, knowing that every part of you is just doing what it does because it wants to be loved and heard. And that's why you do anything. Like, that's the basis of why humans do anything. And sometimes when people act bad or evil or whatever, it's because they have a lack of being loved or heard, in a sense. So shame and guilt will pretty much hold you back, because you're feeling the guilt and the shame around trying to fix something, but then you're just giving yourself more guilt and shame and you're actually not going to fix it. And I see it a lot, like I was saying, as a trainer, because my job is basically to help you look at where you are now and get you to where you want to be in a way that you're actually making progress, but also having compassion for yourself, because the first thing you're going to do is want to beat yourself up over the fact that I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that, that this is hard, but like, and you start getting negative about yourself, and you just want to cut and stop that loop before it happens. Because when we have shame and guilt, it's the thing where, if you've ever read the book or know about the idea how emotions internalize in the body and your body like holds them in different areas, Louise Hay has a book all about, it's called, girl, what is her book called? I can't think of it off top of my head. You Can Heal Your Life, because it's about, she literally cured physical diseases in her body, because her theory is that emotions stay in her body, and all the negative emotions that she literally had in her body like made her sick. So they always talk about how shame and guilt are the things that will like stay in your body and like actually make you sick over time. And in turn, like, if you want to take it from a grain of salt, where it's like, it will just make you stressed out. And when you have a stressed immune system and when you're constantly internalizing these things, they do lead to decline in health, pretty much. So again, that's why I like to talk about the mind and the body, because I think they're both really important. And as somebody who used to go to the gym all the time and like push myself because I didn't like myself, like when I was younger, that's what I would do. And everything came from a place of dislike and hate. I like wasn't quote unquote healthy. Like, I was forcing myself to do things, but my mindset was really toxic, you know? So it all goes hand in hand. And there's two things I want to say to leave you with this topic of shame and guilt that are the easiest like tidbit that you can take with you during your week, during your day, to slowly help you with this topic. You can look online for like meditations and journaling prompts all about working with shame and guilt, and I really recommend doing them. You don't have to work at this every day, but just trying to sprinkle a little bit into your week will help over time. Just how we were talking about in an episode a few weeks back, where if you have a big goal, you want to break it down into how are you going to approach that yearly, monthly, weekly, daily, like the increments of it, you know, you want to make it tangible and manageable. The thing I was going to say before, my two tips are kind of like two affirmations, two sayings you can keep in your head that just, I don't know, they just work magic because they're true. The first thing is the thing I've been saying, all about self-worth, all about shame and guilt. People do things because they want to be loved and heard. If you can remember that about yourself, whenever you feel guilty about doing something, to be like, I did that because I wanted to be loved and heard. If you were following along with other people were doing, you wanted to be seen and heard and loved by those people in some way. Or if you were doing something out of hurt, you were doing it because you just wanted to be seen, heard, and loved, and this was your way of doing that. If you can, you don't have to believe it, but if you just keep telling yourself that, it will slowly start to click. Like, it doesn't have to click immediately, but it is true. We just do things because of, we wanted to be seen, heard, and loved. The next thing kind of builds on that. It's the idea, and this is like my favorite thing. I love using this for other people, like to help me kind of keep my cool with other people, but also turning it around on yourself, that you are doing the best that you can with what you have at all times. So for example, your parents, they were conditioned by their parents, who were conditioned by their parents and their parents and their parents, and it's a big whole generational line of what they learned. They were conditioned by what they experienced in school and life and everything, you know? They're doing the best they can every day with what they know. And sometimes they may do something that you don't like or you don't agree with, or it's just not the way that you look at things because of your points of view in life, but they're just doing the best they can with what they know. So that's something I usually use to deal with people in my head. Whenever people are acting a certain way, I remember like they were a kid once, like they have a whole life and the experience that have shaped them. So if I can remember they're doing the best they can with what they have, remember that with the past versions of yourself as well. So the different versions of yourself that you may not like, or you feel shame over or guilt over, or you're just like, I can't even believe that was me. Remember, you were just doing the best you can with what you had then. Those are my two biggest phrases that I think really help when you're journaling and things are coming up. I will literally write that down. Like if I'm journaling something and I start writing about a time in my life where I didn't really like what I was doing, or like the idea of it now is like cringy or corny to me, I'll literally just put that sentence down where it's like, I was just doing the best I did. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like a tongue twister at this point. I was just doing the best I could back then with what I had, or I was just doing what I could to be loved and heard. That was why I was doing it. And again, not making excuses for things or whatever, but just saying those are the motivating factors of it. And since you're showing up and telling yourself that you want to grow and change, like you're already good. I already know you're doing the work, like when you're listening to this and even contemplating the idea of it. But those are two of my phrases that I love to carry with me about shame and guilt. Now, I know we're like halfway through the show and I've just been talking about self-worth and shame, but we're going to move on to a little bit more of the fun, tangible tips, I guess. But these are things that are going to change your mindset. And these are the things that, like the growth mindset and how you look at things, they're going to reframe your everyday life. We're not looking for stuff that's far away. We already have it here with us now. But working with self-worth and working with shame and guilt, they are your foundations. They are your stepping stones. And then we can work on things like confidence and changing our mindsets about comparison, victim, all of that. So the next thing I want to talk about is the comparison trap, because this is something that will make you not feel like the main character in your life if you're constantly comparing yourself to other people. And again, if I say this and it resonates with you, don't feel that shame and guilt. Remember, we're constantly surrounded by media and phones and social media where it's so easy to see these things and compare yourself to them. Sometimes I like to think of the idea that if you were living in some village like 1,000 years ago, you probably would you have met like 100 people in your life if you didn't really travel that much outside of where you were from, or you just would take in what you knew, you know, like it wouldn't be as many people as we see now. Like think about you scrolling on your phone, like the amount of people and situations and lives and experiences you take in like 2 minutes. Like we're just exposed to an amount of human experience that I don't think like our brains that come from like a primitive time were formed to see, you know, like I just think us seeing all these people, it's so easy for us to compare, and there's a beauty in that, like it's inspiring in a sense, but it's also just funny because I don't think our minds were made for that, to see this many people experience this many parts of life and sights and all this stuff, which it's something that we go on our phone and we just see so much of it. So it's so easy to compare yourself because you're seeing that much. So that's okay to like recognize that and be like, all right, like this is just the world that we're living in at this point. And it's so easy to fall into pits of scrolling on your phone and looking at other people's stuff. And like sometimes like I'll see a cool influencer that I follow. Like I follow like the most random influencers. Like I'm big on like baking bread like talk. And I'll just like go down a rabbit hole and just start looking at their stories and stuff. And next thing I know, I'm like looking at their Bali vacation from 2 years ago. And I'm like, okay, it's Tuesday. How did I end up here? Like I'm so you can get sucked in the phone. That can be a whole nother topic we talk about. But the thing is, it's when we get so concerned about other people's lives and start getting sucked into what they're doing or what they did and what you're not doing per se, it literally takes you out of your life. It takes you away from your life and it takes you away from yourself and the present moment and puts you as almost like an observer for somebody else. So it takes you out of the chance that you have to go about your day and do your things, and it puts you into a state of just looking at other people's things. So again, it can be motivating, but if it starts to make you feel bad, you have to realize that and like pull away from it, because sometimes you can just be like, oh, it's just like meditation. When a thought comes up and you recognize it and then you pull yourself back to the present moment, that's exactly what you're doing. You can pull yourself out and be like, oh, I don't know why I'm in the 2018 girls trip photo album right now, but I'm gonna suck myself back to the present moment. But when we compare ourselves like that, everyone does it. Like it's so human. Everyone does it. There's a beauty in it. Like I said, it can be motivating, because sometimes if maybe let's say you get a ping of jealousy or envy, that is something that's actually directing you. So your emotions do point you in the right direction of things you enjoy. If you're feeling a certain emotion about something, you're really put off by it, it's showing you don't like it. And if you have an emotion where you're kind of feeling, I want that, like maybe you're feeling things like, oh, why did they have that or whatever. But if you're feeling that emotion in general, it means you like it or you want to have that, or there's something about that you enjoy. Maybe you don't enjoy what they're doing, but you enjoy the idea of the freedom they have because they're doing that. Whether that be they have an abundance of money, or this person has an abundance of experiences, or a partner, or whatever. You just know you want it. And it's a good thing. It's showing you you want it. So if you can learn to look at your comparisons, like when you fall into the comparison trap, if you can learn to look at it like there's something about that that you want, or it lights you up, that's good. But when it starts to get to the point where it's making you feel bad, you can pull away and just try to do whatever you can to come back into what's happening here and now. Whether that be throwing out some gratitude in your mind real quick, doing something that you enjoy that's going to get you in the present moment, whether that be art, playing an instrument, going for a walk, exercise, like whatever it is to just suck you out of the phone world for a minute, it's going to be very beneficial for you. So we can do a whole episode on the comparison trap. If you're interested in more tips about comparison, please let me know. But it's so easy to get caught up in it. I know it is. The next thing I want to talk about is confidence. Because when you think about a main character, or when you think about taking control of your life, romanticizing it, whatever you want to call it, you're like, oh, everybody has confidence. Like, I don't have that. I need to be confident, and it's something that's far away. But the cool thing is, I swear, like, everyone that's confident, like, nobody knows what they're doing ever. It's all about, like, being Delulu, pretty much. Like, everybody just, that fake it till you make it vibe. But confidence is more of, it's, I think, a different definition I wanted to say, is it's less of just feeling like you have to be so full of yourself or whatever you think confidence is, but it's just being very authentically you and not caring about other people's opinions or what's normal and what's not normal. It's just doing what you want because it lights you up regardless. So when you stop letting other people's thoughts and opinions control you, in a sense, that's when you have confidence. So if you are noticing maybe the way you're dressing is because that's what's in, or other people do it, or you have to, once you step outside of that and start playing around with fashion and dressing the way you like and things that are going to make you confident. And what I mean confident, again, is just stuff that lights you up and it's not being influenced by other people's thoughts and opinions. That's what's really going to give you confidence. The same thing when it comes to, it literally could be like pitching a presentation. It's just you doing it because it lights you up, or you doing it because the way you're going to speak or the way you're going to present is how you want to do it. Like, you already have confidence. If you just stop placing other people's thoughts and opinions on a pedestal and not be afraid to basically take up space and just be yourself, you just got to try it. Because I know it's easy for me to just be like, stop doing this, stop letting other people's thoughts, start taking up space. But just taking a crazy step, like, I always feel those butterfly heart flutter things every time you try something new, or it's similarly new, it's still going to give you that feeling, like that doesn't go away. So you're normal if you feel that. But just leaning into that version of yourself where you can just do what lights you up and just actually do it and not put other people's thoughts and opinions on a pedestal, that's what confidence is. For example, I heard this one girl say, when you think of like a main character, do you see them walk in the room and like try to make themselves smaller, in a sense? Like, no, the camera's on them and they're doing their thing and they're going through the scene and they're just doing what makes them appealing to the audience, which is being themselves. There's a reason you're following that show or character, is because you like what that character is about. For me, a way that I worked on confidence, I think, in my life was going to the gym. And it didn't literally have to do with my body or working out technically, but it was showing up and not being afraid to take up space, because I was afraid and I just kept showing up. Like, I literally just kept showing up afraid for like years until I wasn't anymore, because I felt like I had to shrink myself. I also would find myself saying sorry to people a lot. Like, when I bump into people, I immediately apologize. And it's like, okay, that person literally bumped into me. Why am I apologizing? Like, things like that where I had to step back and correct myself and just stop playing small, per se. Like, stop apologizing for literally existing. Stop feeling bad that I'm different than other people, in a sense. Like, I used to feel bad when I would go to the gym because I was like the only girl in the gym at my school, and it was like all dudes and it was just me, and I would like do as much as I could to make myself feel small, and like I would bring a bench in the corner and like do all my workouts in the corner. And then like one day it hit me, I was like, am I literally paying the same amount of money as these guys to go to this school for this equipment that sucked. It was like, we had like 10 things in there, but I'm like, I'm paying the same amount of money as them to come in here to do the same type of workout as them, and I'm putting myself in the corner because of what? Because of what? Because I'm afraid to like show up and be myself. And there was a lot of things I had to work on to move past that, but literally I used to make myself smaller and go in the corner, or I'd walk by people and I wouldn't make eye contact. Like, I force myself to make eye contact now. It's still uncomfortable. Ugh, I hate it. But it really does make you grow, because why am I afraid to walk into rooms? Like, I shouldn't be afraid to walk into a room. This is the thought process I've been going through in the past like 5 or 6 years. Like, yeah, I was confident in a certain way, and I felt like a lot of the times when I was younger, I would rely on alcohol. Like, I would take, like, 2 drinks, and I'd be like, oh, now I'm really social. And then, like, during the week, I'd be like, I'm antisocial because I don't have alcohol. Worked on that, but I'm just saying that was something, if that comes up for you, like, I was just afraid to walk into a room if I wasn't dressed in, like, going out clothes or had a full face of makeup on. That was another thing. Oh my gosh, I literally, never mind. I was going to tell another trauma story, but we'll keep that one under wraps right now. But I used to have, like, I've had acne most of my life, so I felt like I was afraid to show up with that. And there was a lot of different things I had to work on, and it's not going to be fixed in one day. But just showing up and not being afraid to take up space was what really helped me. Just showing up and being like, I literally deserve to be here. Like, wherever I am, I say that. If I find myself trying to, like, play small on, like, a train, I'm like, why am I trying to sit in the corner? Like, I'm just going to sit where I want to sit. Or I'm not going to apologize for walking. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, someone bumps into you in the supermarket with a shopping cart. Like, you literally hit me with your shopping cart. Why am I saying sorry? You know, like, I just find myself really playing small and being a people pleaser. And that's something I've had to work on. So working on not being afraid to take up space wherever you are, the affirmation, I deserve to take up space, it is awesome. It's a lifesaver. So leaning into that, because you deserve to take up space no matter what other people thinking or doing or living their lives. We're all just different characters living out our own scenes. And sometimes we may go into the same place as other characters, but that's basically it. If you think about it, like, everybody truly doesn't care in a sense. Think about how you go through life. You're all, like, when I'm walking around, a lot of the times I try, but sometimes I'm not present. I'm just in my head. So is everybody else. But that's the beauty of it. It doesn't seem that way, because you're in the room with all these people. But if you struggle with, like, confidence, that's just something that literally always helped me, was remembering that everyone around me is just doing the exact thing that I'm doing. Like, they're concentrating on, they're thinking about literally what they're gonna have for dinner. They're thinking about what goals they want. They're thinking about this person they like. Like, they're doing the same stuff that you're doing. And it's really comforting to know that. So don't be afraid to take up space. I'm saying that from the point of view of someone who was afraid to take up space for so long, and things really change when you just walk around and don't care. You don't actually have to not care, but just tell yourself, I don't care. Just, like, act pissed. Be like, I don't care. I deserve to take up space, and just show up and do the thing you want to do. All right, next up, we're going to talk about the victim mindset, because this is something I see come up a lot. It's very normal to have, in a sense, because we want to blame the external world. We want to blame other people for not doing what we want to do, for not being able to reach our goals, take those steps, have the things that other people have. The first thing we're going to do is list out all the things that are wrong in our lives, all the things that are stopping us, all the people that are stopping us. It's very easy to see this in other people sometimes, but you always do have a little bit of victim mentality. Like, check in on yourself. I say to my mom a lot, but then I realized, like, she taught me some of the things, and then I have that victim mindset. So it's all about unlearning it, like I was saying earlier. Working on your self-worth, working on your goals, working on gratitude and appreciating what you have in the moment and what's out there, and learning about the universe and how the universe can help draw things to you. All those things are going to help you with the victim mindset. But my biggest thing with the victim mindset is picking your hard. And sometimes when I feel motivational speakers talk about this topic, they sound like drill sergeants. So don't take it like I'm saying it meanly, but it's a very interesting idea. So I'm all about self-care. I'm all about compassion. But sometimes the idea of picking your hard is something that I, like, lean into, and I'm like, damn, it's true, because it really motivates me. We always have two sides, like two hards, you know? So what that means is, if you don't work out, if, let's say, working out is hard, getting up in the morning to put your workout in is hard because you have a long day of work and you have to figure out if you want to work out in the morning or the evening. You want to figure out, like, you can make it manageable in a sense, but just in general, looking at the idea you don't work out at all, but you want to. You want to train to run a marathon. You have not put in any ounce of training yet, but you have the idea, you have the spark, you want to do it. There's two things you can do, and they might both be hard. The first thing is knowing that you have to train for the marathon, you have to put in the time, you have to run, you have to set out a few months to train yourself to do it. You're going to need to make time. Maybe the hard for you in that situation is going to bed a little earlier and waking up a little earlier so that you can make the time to go. That's hard. It's not easy to get up. I'm not just going to be like, yeah, just get up and run. I know it's hard. You have to plan out your days. You have to do a bunch of stuff about that. You got to shop your food to make sure you're fueling yourself the right way. The other hard would be saying, I'm just not going to do it, knowing that in your heart you want to do it. And now you're sitting there and you're letting your dream of running the marathon slip away from you because you're just not going to put in the effort. Like, that's hard too, to sit there and then fall into the comparison trap and see other people doing it and being like, oh my gosh, I really want to do this. Another version of that would be, let's say, just going to the gym in general. You know you want to go to the gym. You know you want to work on your health, but you don't do it. The other hard that you're going to have is living in a body that's going to end up being like sick in a sense because you're not moving it. You don't get your steps in. You're not taking any action on this. That's just as hard. Speaking up versus staying quiet. It's hard to speak up. It's hard to get up there and talk to this person or this boss or whoever and speak your mind. But it's also hard to stay quiet and not do it and just sit there and let the same things unfold over and over again and not say your piece. So those are the two hards you can pick. I think it's very motivational, but again, circling back to compassion, guilt, and shame, not feeling the guilt and shame over that, like knowing that everything you've done to this point, again, is just because you're keeping yourself safe. You want to keep yourself loved and protected, but picking your hard, there's one hard or another. And I think that's a very good way to get out of the victim mindset in a sense. We don't have to sit there and say, oh, this isn't going to work. I have this, this, and this, and this. Like, it's going to be hard for you to sit in that victim mindset. Like, the victim mindset will hold you in a space where it's going to be hard to move out of it in a sense if you just keep keeping yourself there. So creating a life that you love and that you're generally proud of is something that's going to light you up and be hard, maybe in a sense, but it's going to be harder to sit there and live a life that you're not happy and not generally proud of, knowing that you have the power in whatever sense, whatever's resonating right now when I said that. Like, if there's something in your life you want to change, I feel like most people kind of feel that you can do it. So leaning into, again, what lights me up, what are my passions, doing some work on discovering what you think your purpose is, whatever that may be for you, whether it may be just having a hobby on the side of your job, or maybe you want to turn a hobby into a job, or maybe you just know there's more in a certain area that you want to explore or you want to try something. Just following the part of you that lights up when you think of things, doing work to discover your passions. I always say meditation and journaling because I feel like those things will help you dig into your subconscious and find out what you enjoy. I'd say that my final tip for stepping into a version of your life where you are the main character, where you have the self-growth mindset, the abundance mindset over a victim mindset, you're comparing less, you're feeling more confident, and you're working on keeping your guilt and shame and transmuting it into love, into something else that's going to serve you better. My biggest next tip, and the final tip for the episode, is having strong boundaries. Like, I feel like boundaries over the past year has been something I've been really working on. I've been inspired with other people. Two of my good friends in Hawaii, we had like a whole joke about it. Like, the entire month we were together, they were saying, like, theme is boundaries, because it really is. Okay, lastly, boundaries. We can do a whole episode on boundaries, but I think they have been something that's been very important to me this past year. I've had other people helping me kind of learn to work with boundaries, but I heard somebody say one time that boundaries are protecting your standards, and also they help you embrace high quality experiences in life, because when you have boundaries and you don't acknowledge them, you let people walk all over them, or you people please and you say yes to too many things, you say no to things you want to do because it's not the norm, whatever examples resonate with you. When you ignore those boundaries and keep them really low, you're not creating high quality experiences in your life. Or if you have a goal that you know you have to be doing certain things to get to it, or you want to be putting aside for this goal or whatever, and you're not doing it because your boundaries are down low, then you're not bringing in those high quality experiences. This can be jobs, friends, relationships, whatever. If you're letting people in relationships like walk all over you, or you're not standing up for yourself, or you're letting things go on that you don't want, then you're going to attract more of that. You're going to keep getting that low quality experience. But if you finally put your foot down and say like no to it, then it's going to stop. You're going to correct yourself and correct the course of how things are going. Same thing with work, same thing with friends, same thing with situations, anything you can think of. Having boundaries basically is like a castle. Like if you have a cool castle that you live in with gates and a big wall, you're only letting in what you want to create your life, and then you close the gate on the stuff you don't want, the low quality stuff. You're only letting in the high quality experiences and keeping out the low. So we can talk more about boundaries another time, but I just wanted to put that in there because I do think it's important to have strong boundaries and make sure that you're working towards things you want in your life and actively saying no to things you don't want. Thank you so much for joining me today. That is what I wanted to get off my chest and share with you about creating a life you want. If any of these topics really resonates with you, please shoot me a message on Instagram. My name again is Happy Holistic Hippie. And then my other Instagram is also Amanda_Liz. I haven't posted on there in a few months just because I've been taking a break from posting, but I've been posting on the Happy Holistic Hippie page. I would love to do deep dives on any of these topics if there's something we want to go into on the show or I can create content about. But yeah, you can always reach out to me on there, follow along. I'm coming out with some programs soon and I have a lot of good fun goodies coming up. I'll be doing retreats in the future. So follow me on Instagram for all of the updates there. And I hope you have a wonderful day and we will see you next week.